3 months before, when they'd started this shadow crusade, Lorga had asked him why he mutilated his own legion. The butcher's nails, of course. He meant the butcher's nails.
Do you know what these things do to you? Do you know what they really do to your men?
Angron had nodded. He knew better than anyone.
They let me dream.
It was one of the few moments in his life he'd ever risked admitting such a thing. He still wasn't sure why he'd said it.
They make it difficult to feel anything, except the most fierce righteousness.
A headache thudded behind his eyes, coiling all the way down his spine. He wasn't in the right frame of mind to have such a talk. But Horus had sent them into Ultima Segmentum to work together. At this stage, so early in their journey, the cracks of tension had yet to show. Lorga had smiled sadly and shaken his head.
Your butcher's nails were not made for a Primarch's mind, brother. They steal the healing hours of sleep from you, not letting your brain process the day's events. They also cauterize your emotions, feeding everything back into your basest urges. To kill, to fight, to slay. That is all that gives you pleasure, isn't it? These implants, crude as they are, have remapped the cartography of your mind.
You don't understand.
Perhaps they did do all of those things, but they also brought a maddening peace that had to be chased, and the purity of absolute fury.
They are not simply a curse, though they may seem that way to you.
Then enlighten me. Help me understand.
You want to remove them. I know you do.
He'd die before he allowed that. For all the pain, for all the twitches, ticks, spasms and aches right to his bloody bones, the butcher's nails brought clarity and purpose. He'd never sacrifice that. He was not weak enough to even feel the temptation.
Brother.
Lorga had appeared disheartened then, his eyes cooled by concern.
They cannot be removed. Not without killing you. I had no intention of trying. If it is possible for us to die, you will do so with those wretched things still inside your skull.
You know we can die. Ferus is dead.
Lorgar looked away, as if staring through the metal chamber wall.
I keep forgetting that. Events are proceeding so very quickly, are they not?
If you say so.
So why would you inflict this upon your legion? Answer me that at least. Why would you order your tech marines to hammer these butcher's nails into the heads of every warrior in your service?
Angron hadn't replied at once. He owed Lorgar no answers. But a thought took slow bloom in his mind. The idea that if any of his kindred could understand, it might be Lorgar. After all, the Lord of the 17th Legion had inflicted punishments of his own upon his favored sons. Even now, the word-bearers in the Gal Vorbach were severed beings, existing with demons trapped in their hearts.
It is all I know, and it has never failed me. This is how I win my wars, Lorga. You've done similar things to win yours.
That is true enough.
From there, the memory grew hazy and indistinct. The degeneration followed over the course of weeks as the two legions suffered the rise of their master's tension. 40,000 warriors in Word-Bearer Crimson and 70,000 in World-Eater White, filling the decks and holds of a vast flotilla. In the beginning, the clashes between Legion ideology had manifested in manageable ways. Word-Bearer's warriors had been honored to be invited into the 12th Legion's gladiatorial pit fights, and World-Eaters had been offered entrance to the 17th Legion's training chambers. It was only as the Primarch's discontent filtered down to their warriors that divisions arose. The first crack in the Alliance had happened at the world of Turin, a planet loyal to distant Terra. The unified fleet had only dropped from the warp to resupply, refuel, and move on deeper into enemy territory. The Legions had cast aside the pathetic excuse for planetary defenses with no effort at all, and ransacked the world's refineries for everything they required. Within a week, the word-bearers had been ready to move on. The principal cities were put to the cleansing flame, and all icons venerating the Imperium were broken beneath ceramite boots. But the world-eaters weren't finished. What followed were the long days and longer nights of bloodshed and butchery, as the 12th Legion, led by their Primarch, pursued the ragged remains of the population across the globe. Lorgar's initial disagreement gave way to disgust, and in turn became the cold anger for which he was now becoming known. Angron couldn't be summoned, couldn't even be contacted, as he laid waste to what little life remained on the planet. When the last world-eaters returned to their vessels, the flotilla was 10 days delayed, lagging behind its targeted estimates. Then came Garrulon Prime. The first world of the Garrulon system turned about its sun at the ideal distance not only to sustain human life, but to allow it to flourish. A rare jewel, a mythological Eden, Garrulon Prime stood out as a beacon of Imperial compliance, providing vast numbers of men and women for the oh-so-glorious regiments of the Imperial Army. After annihilating the modest orbital defenses, Lorgar had ordered a portion of the population enslaved and the world burned. He vowed to leave Garrulon Prime as nothing more than a blackened husk, with his fleet's indentured crew and servitor contingents swollen by fresh meat. But once more, the Primarch's desires diverged. Angron led the world-eaters down to the surface, ransacking the cities and destroying all hope of a cohesive assault. As ever, his tastes ran along bloodier lines. He had no desire to leave a charred cinder of a planet as an example to the Imperium. He would leave a grave world, a planet of silent cities and a billion bones bleaching in the sun. And so it continued, world after world, forcing the brothers apart through desire and ideology, bringing two of the traitor legions close to a civil war of their own. When Angron ordered his fleet to break from the warp to attack a fifth world, the Primarchs at last came to the edge of violence.
If you seek to stop me, Lorgar, you and your deluded legion die first.
So be it, brother. We will not fire the first shot, but we will not allow you to pass us and waste lives and resources on worthless butchery.
It is not worthless. They are the enemy.
But not the true enemy.
All enemies are true, Lorgar.
Strange how Angron could remember those words with such biting clarity, but not the look upon his brother's face. It had only been a few hours ago, yet it felt as intangible now as a childhood dream.